Thank God for grace. Amen. Were it not for grace, songwriter said, I could tell you where I'd be.
Amen.
Wandering down some pointless road to nowhere.
Amen.
My salvation up to me, said, I know how that would go. Not good.
Right.
Thank God for his amazing grace. Amen. I'm thankful I know something about it.
Amen.
I hope that you do. I hope that you know what it's like to be saved in the marvelous grace of God. Amen. Open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. Luke, chapter 1. Thank you to all the parents and family who's came this special day. I know we have a lot planned. We have some refreshments that have been prepared for afterwards for the entire church family. We hope that you'll stay and celebrate with us this special day for our school and our church. I'd like to preach a very simple message to you tonight. A very simple message, some simple truths, but perhaps some sharp truths. They're things that are simple to grasp. They're easy to understand. There's nothing that I'll say tonight that'll be over your head, I don't believe. But if we're not careful, we'll know about these things in our mind, but they'll be missing from our life. And so I just want to remind us of some important truths about raising our children. And I'd like to talk to you tonight about the greatest need of our children. Now, I got to admit to you tonight, I'm not the final authority on raising children. I still have three that live at home, and I have much to learn when it comes to raising children and being a father, and for that matter, for being a husband. But I'm thankful that I have a book that has all the answers. It's given me everything that I need as a father and as a husband when it comes to raising my children. And I'm thankful God left us some instructions. And someone said, you know, children don't come with an instruction manual. Well, they do if you have one of these. It's a good instruction manual. It's been working for my family. As long as I follow this, it works out well.
Right,
now, when I get away from this, then, well, things start to get a little rocky.
Right.
But as long as I follow the principles, this book right here, then things go along quite well.
Amen.
And so I want to give you a few quotes just by way of introduction that I thought were good. One man said, he said, before I got married, he said, I had 6 theories about raising children. He said, now I have 6 children and no theories. Isn't that how it is? I mean, we got it all figured out before they come our way. I remember, you know, walking through a grocery store, Jennifer and I would be engaged. We'd be, you know, out on a date, and we'd see some child acting up, and we'd say, you know what? We're never going to allow that. And God's just recording all of those things when you're saying those, just to put you to the test and humble you. One man said this, I thought this was good. He said, parenthood is the scariest hood you'll ever go through.
Amen.
Yeah. And then on a more serious note, one man said this. He said, our responsibility is not only to make children, but to make them disciples. And so God's put us on this earth to do more than just replenish the earth. Man, Adam and Eve had quite a job. God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. That's a lot of children. Replenish the earth. Some people think that command's still in effect. I think Brother David thinks that's still in effect. They're trying to replenish the earth by themselves. It's a blessing to have children. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Amen. All you can handle. Children are a gift from God. They're a blessing. Amen. But see, it's not enough just to bring children into this world. We bring children into this world, and then the job starts of training and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so I want to remind you tonight that I think Pastor already said, we get one chance at this. It was said this morning. We get one shot to raise our children. There's some things in life we get another chance at. But this thing of raising children, you don't get another chance at it. God gives them to us for a little while. They're at home, and we got one chance to train them up in the way they should go. We got one chance to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We got one chance to teach them about their Creator and our Redeemer.
Amen.
We got one chance to exemplify a real relationship with God in front of our children. And so let's take advantage of that opportunity. You'll never get another opportunity. They're only young once. They're only impressionable as a young person one time. And so let's take that responsibility seriously. You're in Luke chapter number 1. There's a man in the Bible in Matthew chapter number 11. Don't turn there. But Jesus said, among all the men born of woman, and that's all the men, he said, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. Isn't that something? Jesus said, there's a man that's alive. He's greater than all the other men on the face of the earth. That's John the Baptist. Wow, what words of affirmation. John was called the greatest man. I imagine his parents probably felt pretty good about that. I began to think about John the Baptist. I wonder what his home was like. I mean, a man to be the greatest man, wonder what his family was like. Wonder what kind of upbringing he had. And God gives us a little bit of a glimpse into the upbringing of John the Baptist. And so I want us to look at just some truths about John the Baptist and about his home and about his family and answer this question, what kind of parents do our children need? What kind of parents do our children need? You're there in Luke chapter number 1. I want to start off by saying this. Number 1, our children need parents, number 1, that are saved. Amen. Notice, if you will, it introduces John the Baptist's parents in verse number 5. His father's name was Zacharias. His mother's name was Elizabeth. And the Bible tells us something about them in verse number 6. It says, and they were both, notice, righteous before God. John the Baptist was a great man, and I'm convinced one reason why is because both of his parents had a right relationship before God. They were both saved. That's what it means to be righteous before God. When you and I trust Jesus as our Savior, we abandon all of our good works, all of our efforts, and we realize that our only hope of heaven, only hope of eternal life is through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the price that He paid on Calvary, and we trust Him, then at that moment, God declares us righteous. He justifies us. Amen. And so can I say that children of Fellowship Baptist Church, children represented here, they need families where the parents are saved. So can I ask you this evening, are you saved? Has there ever been a time in your life when you can go back to and you can say, I can tell you where I was when God convicted me? You see, the Bible says here that they were righteous before God. They weren't righteous before one another. They weren't righteous before a world. They weren't righteous in front of their coworkers. They weren't righteous in front of their family. They were righteous before God. See, because you can put on a front and you can play games and you can fool a lot of people about your own self-righteousness. But God says we're all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The best thing that Brandon Freeman can offer God is a dirty rag. That's the best thing I can offer. And that's the best thing you can offer. Because the Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can I tell you, children in this world need parents that have a relationship with God. Are you saved? We're given multiple opportunities here at Fellowship Baptist Church to testify about when God saved us. You know what would be good for your children to hear? About the time God saved you. Amen. Amen. It'd do your children well to hear mom and daddy give some kind of testimony of, hey, I can tell you when I got saved. Amen. You say, well, I don't remember the date. Well, you remember where you were. Stacy mentions all the time, I was in the Carolinas. I don't know if it was North Carolina or South Carolina. She was just in the Carolinas. She knows where she was when she got saved. Amen. Do you know where you were? Can you remember when God convicted you? Are you saved tonight? Listen, if you're not saved, nothing else I say matters. You need to get that matter settled. You need to get the sin question answered. And the only way to answer it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What kind of parents do our children need? They need saved parents. That's step number one. Number two, our children need spiritual parents. Spiritual parents. Notice also in verse number 6, a few subpoints along this line of spirituality. Notice verse number 6 says, and they were, next word, both. Verse number 6, see that? And they were both righteous before God. So children not only need saved parents, they need spiritual parents, and they need parents that are going to be cooperative. Guess what? Mom was righteous before God, and Dad was righteous before God. You know what our parents, what our children need? Parents where mama and daddy are both right with God. Amen. That's what our children need. It does great harm to our children when mom's trying to serve God and dad's not. Or when dad's trying to serve God and mom's not. Can I tell you the best thing you can give your children, mom and dad, is for both of you to work together to serve God together. Amen. On the same team. You're not fighting one another. It's not mom sends dad to church with the kids. No, no, no. It's not dad stays at home and sends, well, I sent my kids to church. We ought to bring them to church. Amen. And bring mama too. Amen. They were both righteous before God. That's what our children need. They need a mom and a dad that's not fighting with one another about, well, are we going to serve God or not? No, man, children need to look at mama and know, hey, mama loves Jesus, and they need to look at daddy and say, daddy loves Jesus too. That's what our children need. So many homes across America and so many homes even represented in churches are, you know what, kind of in practice single-parent homes because there's one parent that's carrying the load spiritually. And I know that happens sometimes. I'm not happy about it. I'm sad about it. But if you're here, you've got a choice. You've got a decision. And you can either choose to serve God or not. Can I tell you, one day you'll either be glad you did or you'll regret that you didn't. Amen. So make the best of your opportunity while your children are young, mom and dad. Get on the same team and serve God together. Amen. They were both righteous before God. There was some cooperation. And then not only that, there was some consistency. Notice verse number 6, and they were both righteous before God. Notice this, walking in, what's the next word? All. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Man, I'm going to tell you what, Zacharias and Elizabeth, that's two consistent Christians right there. Not only were they saved, not only were they cooperative on the same team, man, they were consistent. You know what they built their home on? Whatever this book says, they said, we're going to do that. Amen. Whether it's a commandment, whether it's an ordinance, we're not going to pick and choose. Because you know what we got today? We got a lot of Christians, a lot of homes that like to pick and choose which verses that they're going to apply to their life. We got some homes and some families that say, you know what? We like that holiness part, and we're going to get the outside right, and we're going to dress right and act right and talk right, but they don't like that soul winning part. You're picking and choosing. And then we got some that they like that missions part. And man, they're all about outreach, but they don't like that holiness part and clean living. And can I say, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they just took all of it. They said, you know what? If God said it in his word, that's what we're going to do at our house. Can I tell us, that's what our children need. They need a mom and a dad that's not going to pick and choose, be in and out, hot and cold, up and down. Our children need parents that are going to be consistent in their walk with God. Amen. Amen. To be like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Today, tomorrow, the day after that. And we're just going to consistently serve God till Jesus comes. Would to God that God would give us families that were consistent. We do great harm to our children when we're in and out, hot and cold, off and on. One of the greatest harms we could do to our children is profess Christianity without living it. Talk about it without living it, right? Put on the religious coat when we're here on Sunday morning. Act spiritual. We're real good at it. We know the right things to say. We know the songs. And then we get home, there's never a time we open our Bible, never a time we praise God, never a time we mention God. You know what you're doing? You're teaching your children how to play church. You're teaching them how to be a hypocrite. Be one thing when they're here and another thing while they're at home. God give us parents that will be cooperative and that will be consistent in their walk with God. Listen, our world, our churches are starving for consistent parents. I just want to challenge you. I hope you get fired up about it. Listen, God's given us some precious gifts all throughout this building. Children. And they're watching us, parents. They're watching to see, well, is daddy, what's he got? Is that real? Is what mama got, is that real? I was talking with Brother Brian before church. We were talking about Noah building that ark. I bet Shem, Ham, and Jake, but there were a few times, Brother Brian, they probably thought, man, dad's crazy. Noah's out there building that ark, telling his sons, now boys,
I'm building this ark and I'm preaching and God said it's going to rain. I'm just sure of it. Those boys, there was a time in their life when they probably thought, man, I don't know. I don't know about that. But you know what they seen? They seen a man that was consistent. Amen. And before the rain came, when dad said it's time to get on the boat, you know what they did? They got on the boat. Amen. You know what? Because they seen, well, dad's got some conviction about it. Dad's been consistent with this. He's been building this ark a long time. And when it was time to get on, they got on. And so dads, if we want our families to follow us, we got to be consistent. Amen. Consistent. Number three, compelled. They were compelled. They felt an obligation. Notice what Elizabeth says here when she finds out that after she conceives there. Let's skip to verse number 24 just for the sake of time. Verse 6 kind of gave us a testimony of their life spiritually. Zacharias is working there in the temple, and he's ministering. The angel Gabriel comes, appears to Zacharias, and he says, Zacharias, you and your wife, you're going to have a baby. Now, Elizabeth, she was barren. She couldn't have children. And so, for Zacharias, this was hard for him to believe. And so the angel said, because you didn't believe what I said, you're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to talk. You're not going to be able to speak until the child is born. And so Zacharias, he's there in the temple, and he's got this vision of this angel that's appeared to him, and they're outside. They're wondering, man, what's in the world is Zacharias doing out there? They're wondering why it's taking him so long. He comes out. He can't speak. And so then the Bible tells us in verse number 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, notice what she said, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. You know what Elizabeth realized? This thing's of God. She said, thus hath the Lord dealt with me. When she had that baby in her belly, she said, this is God's doing. Can I remind you tonight? Children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb, not the fruit of the loom, amen, the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's God's gift. When God gives children, that's God's work. You can read it all through the Bible. And you find God opening wombs and you find God closing wombs. Opening them and shutting them. It's the work of God. And what Zacharias and Elizabeth realized was that John, he was a gift from God. They felt an obligation. And would to God that we would feel an obligation that God has lent us. God has given us children that they're not our own. They've been given to us by God. We are to be responsible. We are to be good stewards of the gift that God's given us. Let's train them up to serve God. It's not only just up to us to do with them as we would. If we call ourselves Christians, we've been bought with a price. Let's train our children the way God would have them to go. Amen. Let's see what God's will for their life would be. They were compelled. Not only that, they were consecrated. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 41 about Elizabeth. And it came to pass that, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Some of you women know about that. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. How about that? Mama's filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what our children need? They need mamas who are filled with the Holy Ghost. More concerned about getting full of the Holy Ghost than getting full of themselves. More concerned about being full of the Holy Ghost than making a name for themselves. That's what their children need. Mamas who are filled with the Holy Ghost. Moms who are consecrated. Guess what the Bible says in verse number 67? Turn there with me if you will. And his father Zacharias, guess what? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, that's a good recipe right there. Amen. You get mom filled with the Holy Ghost. You get dad filled with the Holy Ghost. Business is going to start picking up spiritually at home. Amen. Our homes are suffering today because mom and dad's not filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching to myself, but I'm also preaching to you. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Who are you living for? What's your life about? Does the Holy Ghost of God dictate your decisions? Does he control your actions? Does he control the way you think? Does he control the way you spend your time? Does he control the way you spend your money? Are you controlled by the principles of this book and by the Holy Ghost of God? Or are you just kind of doing your own thing? See, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they said, you know what? We want to get with God. We want to go with God. We want to get full of God. It wasn't about hobbies. It wasn't about work. It wasn't about making money. It wasn't about making a name for themselves. It wasn't about building a big circle of friends. It was about, let's get full of God and let's give a good example for our child, John the Baptist. Amen. Our children need parents that are saved, but they also need parents that are spiritual, that are consecrated. And then I also see this. I think Zacharias had a little conviction about him. Look, if you will, go back and look. Verse number 64, and his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed. Guess what the first thing he did? He spake and praised God. Praised God. And then you can read, I'm not going to for the sake of time, but I believe Zacharias was probably a pretty fiery preacher. If you read verse 68 down to verse number 79, I'm telling you, Zacharias, he put it out there. He prophesied and he blessed God. And it reminds me of this man, he was convinced that a relationship with God, the Word of God being in the will of God, that was the way to go. Can I ask you, are you convinced of that? Are you convinced that being in God's will is not only the best thing for you, but it's the best thing for your children? Are you convinced of that? I pray that you are. Listen, don't be convinced of it because I'm telling you that. Be convinced of it because it's the truth and it's taught in that book right there. Amen. Being in the will of God, that's the most important thing that can happen in our children's life after they get saved. Let's make sure they're in the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Saved, spiritual, and then number three and last, our children need parents that are settled. Settled on some things. Not tossed here and there, to and fro, carried about with every wind that blows. Our children need parents that are settled on some things. Zacharias and Elizabeth were. Notice number one, they were settled concerning the path that God had for John the Baptist. Look, if you will, what the angel said back in chapter 1, verse number 13. Notice what the angel told Zacharias here in the temple. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. That angel appeared to Zacharias, and he said, now, Zacharias, I'm going to give you a son, and you be sure, I've got special plans for this boy, and I want you to call his name John. That's what his name's going to be. And then you find, if you skip over, we'll pick up in verse number 59. Notice what happens. I love this part of this chapter. Verse number 59, it came to pass that on the eighth day after the birth of John the Baptist, on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Man, can't you just see the family gather around now? Little John the Baptist is born, and they're trying to pick out a name. Well, what should we call him? And there's aunts, and there's uncles, and there's grandparents, and they're saying, oh, he looks just like Daddy. Let's call him Zacharias, little Zach Jr. Let's call him Zachy Boy, right? Zachy Poo. He looks like a Zachary. They said, that's what we ought to call him, Zacharias, just like his father. Well, verse 16, his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. She said, no, we're going to do what God said.
Amen.
You're not going to decide what our children are going to do, what they're going to be called. We're going to call him John. And Dad had to get involved because notice verse number 61. And they said to her, well, there is none of thy kindred that's called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. I love this. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John.
Amen.
I just like that about a dad.
Amen.
Who will say, listen, can I tell you, this world is going to put all kind of pressure on parents, and it's going to try to tell you the way that you need to train your children. And it's going to try to lay out the path that they think your children ought to go in. Can I just encourage you? Listen, I wouldn't let a school teacher, a guidance counselor, a ball coach, amen, I wouldn't let anybody tell me the direction my children are going to go in.
Amen.
I'd let the God of heaven determine,
amen,
what my children were going to do.
That's good.
And Zacharias and Elizabeth said, no, we're not going to call him Zacharias.
Because we got the world trying to tell us how to train our children, where to send our children, and what to do with our children. And what we need is for some moms and dads to say, no. No, his name's John. Because God said, this is what we're going to do. And so, mom and dad, we need to get along with God and figure out, hey, what's the will of God for our children? And when we find out the gifts that God's given them, hey, let's push them in that direction. Amen. You know what I'm looking for as a school administrator? I'm looking for parents who are looking for God's will for their children. Parents who would say, you know what? We want what God has for our children. We want our children to serve God. Whether they have the best academics or not, we want them to serve God. Whether they have the best athletic ability or not, we want them to serve God. That's the best thing we could do for our children. We need some parents who are not only saved and spiritual, but are settled concerning the path of their children. Can I just challenge you, parents? Don't let this world make the decision for you concerning what your children ought to do with their life. Let God. Let His Word. Because this world, just we heard it this morning, wants to press you into that mold. But the best thing we could do is just give them to God and let them serve God with their life. So concerning their path, but not only this, this is interesting to me. They were settled concerning John the Baptist's protection. Notice verse number 80, the last verse of this chapter. Now Luke wrote this, but Luke was he was long-winded. He's got some long chapters. And there's 80 verses in this chapter. Notice how this chapter ends. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Notice. And was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Sounds very exciting, doesn't it? He was in the deserts. You know what I see here? You know, it's probably hard to get into a lot of trouble in the desert. There probably wasn't a whole lot of outside influences pressing in on John the Baptist out in the desert. I think mom and dad said, you know what? It won't hurt our son to maybe spend some time out there in the desert. Get along with God. He don't have to do what all the other kids are doing. We're going to get him away from some of them hindrances. We don't want him to get too tangled up in what everybody else is doing. Can I tell you, I don't think it hurt John the Baptist to be a little different. Now, he was a different kind of guy. He comes on the scene, man, he's eating locusts and wild honey. His clothes are different. I mean, he's just sticking out like a sore thumb. And can I tell you, some of you young people, you're so scared of being different in this world. Can I just challenge you, be different.
Amen. Amen.
You want to be like this world. Are you kidding me? You're going to walk away from a God that sent His Son to shed His blood for you, that loves you more than you can ever imagine, that has a plan for you that could be better than you can ever dream or think of. You want to trade that to fit in with people who don't even think right? Are you kidding me? Listen, I know what some of the peer pressure is like. You've been there. You know what some of it's like. But I remember this. I can remember it clear as a bell. I got saved as a 12-year-old boy. Not long after that, my family got out of church. And I got away from God. And we had some family on the outside, like John the Baptist did. And they tried to dictate the course of my life. They said, oh, you know, Brandon needs to go down there and get him a degree. I had no idea. I was out of the will of God. Okay, so I'm not saying a degree is wrong in all circumstances. So don't put those words in my mouth. But I was out of the will of God when I went to the University of South Carolina. I had no idea. My major was sport entertainment management. Yeah. I was like, sports, yeah. Let me study that. And we did. We played basketball. I was out of the will of God. Got away from God. But I was saved. I knew better. I'd had a taste of the real stuff. I got right with God on Christmas break after the first semester. I mean, I got right with God. Listen, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I came home on Christmas break, and I'm telling you, I got a hold of some cold water that tasted good. Amen. Amen. It was a gospel preacher. My wife, her daddy was a gospel preacher. I went to that church, and I heard some Bible preaching, and my soul said, man, that's good. Amen. I got right with God. And can I tell you, when I went back to finish that first year at University of South Carolina, I didn't have any problem. I didn't have any problem just letting all of my old friends know, no, I'm done. I'm done with it. I wasn't mean, I wasn't ugly, but I was done with it. I didn't care if I stuck out. I stuck out the rest of the however many weeks it was. Didn't even care. I knew, man, God's got something better for me. Amen. Man, them cold water, the water of the Word of God, that's much better than drinking out of the dirty cisterns of this world. Amen. Can I tell you, once you get a taste of the real stuff, Amen. The other stuff won't do. Amen. And what our children need is get a taste of the real deal. And they need some daddies and some mamas who will be the real thing in front of them. Amen. 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 Enough with the games. Our children need parents who are saved, spiritual, and settled tonight concerning the path and the protection of their children. Don't be afraid to take your children away from some stuff that'll hinder them. Amen. Amen. They'll be all right. Amen. They'll be all right. Yeah, they'll be a little different. They're supposed to be. You're not going to make a difference if you're not different. And listen, it's hard. I wrote this. You can't impart what you don't possess. And so make sure you got something on the inside that's real so that you'll have something to hand down to your children. Two things I want to say in closing. You're here and you say, well, Brother Brandon, I'm not in an ideal home situation. And I realize that. You say, my mom and dad, they're not serving God. Maybe one's not serving God, one is. You say, my parents, they've let me down. Well, we do that sometimes, don't we, parents? Can I tell you what David said? Psalm 27, verse number 10. He said, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Wow. He'll be a father to the fatherless. Amen. Jesus Christ will be the protection, the provision, the love, the guidance. He'll be everything that you need. See, you might be here and you say, I don't have an ideal home. Can I tell you, you can find everything that you need in Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't use that for an excuse. Well, my parents are not the real deal. They're not in church. They're in and out. Listen, there's several people that are serving God here today, and their parents didn't serve God. So don't use that as an excuse. I can imagine there's going to be a day when some children stand before the judgment seat and they're going to try to use the excuse of, well, Jesus, my parents, they really didn't teach and train me right. And then maybe Jesus might turn around and say, is Pastor Freeman here? Come on up here. I think he was in a similar spot. But he served me. What's your excuse? Right, isn't that what Jesus said, that some of those cities that had all the great preaching, they won't have anything to say at the judgment day. Nineveh repented. Right? So don't use it as an excuse if your parents aren't what they need to be. You be what you need to be. Amen. And then to the parents. I can't tell you how many times I listen to sermons on parenting and I just feel like, man, I'm a failure. I've got so much to do. Listen, I want to encourage you. It's really simple. It is. It's our walk with God. It's being saved, and it's being in love with Jesus and getting filled with the Spirit. Amen. And if we'll do that, the rest of the pieces will fall in place. It's really about mom and daddy loving Jesus. And if our children can see that, I believe it's going to give them what they need. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray, turn the invitation over to the pastor. Father,